Okay, does anyone have any questions for Rob? Jess.
Yeah, that's right. So I've been talking about evidence which science puts up for, you know, the Earth being billions of years old. The question is, how does that match up or square up with, you know, the idea of creation and perhaps as presented in Genesis, you know, 6 days of creation and 7 days of rest? For some people that will create a lot of problems. It depends how you read Genesis 1 and 2. I think the door is open both ways in terms of, for me, as I can understand it. I take it the writer of the account in Genesis wasn't trying to do sort of the equivalent of science in his day, you know, as though, you know, if he'd had all of these, if he had the observations and data that was available to us today, he would have written up sort of a scientific account. I don't think he would have, because I don't think that's what he's trying to do, but rather describing the who and the nature of the creation, being God's creator and an orderly creation and so on. So you could read Genesis. I think the door is quite open for it to be read either way. Also, for me personally, the doors open the other direction for the scientific evidence to be completely wrong as well. As I was saying before, the reason I and many others actually believe in the world that God, that God is there beyond this world, is not ultimately because of science reasons or anything else, but because He's made Himself known in the person of Jesus. So I've got a two-way swinging door in that regard. Yeah, but that, yep, there you have to think through and work out. Yeah, Luke. Oh, yeah. Well, I take it there's probably many ways you could read it, that there are six literal 24-hour days is what Genesis is talking about. That's what the writer actually intends. Or is it is the account a portrayal of the creation, so it's such that it's imagery and figurative in trying to portray certain characteristics about the creation, such the orderliness and so on, and the even perhaps the distinct categories under which the different parts of the creation have been made. Which way? Well, I guess it could go either of those, generally those two ways. There's possibly others as well. I'm quite happy for it to go both way, either way. Yeah. Thanks, mate. The resurrection of Jesus, I think certainly that the resurrection of Jesus is necessary for us to understand who Jesus is, and that is actually able to give us any insight into God or the world beyond. Absolutely. I haven't mentioned the resurrection tonight. That's something that we have, I think we've mentioned in this series already. So long ago, we did mention it, the resurrection so far. Yes, if Jesus had not been resurrected from the dead, says Paul, then we have no hope for this life or the next. So it's not so much that the resurrection proves, is the proof that God exists, but if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then all of his other claims of who he is don't make any sense. It's not so much that it's a knockdown proof, because, you know, anyone could rise from the dead in one sense. It's the fact of who Jesus is and who he claims to be that his resurrection becomes important. Yeah. Well, Jesus raised a few people from the dead, and it didn't prove that they were God, or I'm just saying that being raised from the dead is certainly it's a miraculous thing, and completely inexplicable in normal scientific terms that we know, but it, in and of itself, as an action, as an event, it doesn't necessarily prove God or prove that a person who rises from the dead is God, because, the widow of Nain, her son was raised by Jesus, and it just shows that it was indeed a great miracle. Others in the Old Testament have done great miracles, raising people from the dead, Elijah and so on. In and of itself, raising from the dead doesn't prove God or the existence of God, but it certainly validates claims that Jesus makes about himself.